Sponsored reading this morning is found on page 487 in the back of your hymnal. 487. Number 52. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable.
But now is our imprisonment from the dead, and God comforts us from death and sadness.
For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead.
For as Adam all died, even so Christ shall be made alive.
But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?
Thou fool, now thou sowest not,
and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be.
For God hath made a body of his as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
In his sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption.
It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory.
It is sown in weakness, and is raised in power.
It is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Bless these words. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another opportunity to come to your house of worship this morning. We just thank you for the warmth of your Holy Spirit in our presence, and we pray that he will own this service, that he will give me the words to say, that he will open hearts and minds to your truth, and your truth is what I pray we hear this morning. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Probably wondering, you know, about the first hymn. You know, after all, Christmas is over. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. But there's a line there in the song, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in him tonight. Claude just prayed his prayer for us. And as he generally does, he mentioned the hateful divide in this nation. And he prays for that to go away and us to reconcile with one another. And I think it's a wonderful thing to ask for this holiday season. Before we start, I'm going to have Larry read Luke 15, chapter verses 1 and 2, and then continue on to the parable of the two sons, 11 through 32.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hard servants have food and spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hard servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they begin to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you have never gave even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But with this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Bless these words.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, God, for those words. This was a tough sermon for me to prepare. Probably spent more time than I have on it than I have even in the study of Revelation. I just had a burden on my heart that I just thought I had so many things to say to you at the end of the year and the first of the new year. I think important things that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart. Ever since we've been at Pleasant Grove, we made a point to avoid much discussion of politics or the critical hot-button issues of our culture. And it's been intentional that we do that. The problem these days, of course, is that the public debates about such matters are often dominated by extremes.
Amen.
Whether you have agreed with our policy or not, I believe the evangelical church in America has become ineffective in many ways and have lost its way. There's some questions I think we need to ask at this point. What are the main topics of our discussions these days when we get with one another? Are we talking about what we've learned in Scripture this week? Or are we talking about the hot button issues? Are we consumed by them? How are the hot topics of our society really affecting us personally? You know, we take these Christian stands that are very firm. I remember going into the Navy, and it's the first time I was ever around very many black men. And there were guys like me that were from areas that black people didn't live. And I found that they were just as prejudiced as everybody else. Maybe from the big cities where maybe the majority of the people in the city were black. Why would somebody in a sheltered little West Virginia town that had no black people, why would he be discriminating against a black man? We find ourselves at extremes when these discussions come up, or are somewhere, are we on the extremes when these discussions come up, or are we in the middle? Anxious to observe the matters from a biblical standpoint, and eager to extend the grace so consistent with the wonderful example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Have we become a help or a hindrance to the gospel? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Now, this older brother, I think here, may be seen in a lot of our churches today. Remember, our scripture began with sinners and Pharisees muttering about the fact that Jesus was spending entirely too much time with the wrong kind of people. Phariseeism did not die in the first century Judaism. It is alive and well in conservative evangelical Christianity all across America.
Amen.
We need to ask ourselves, are we with the older brother, complaining and out of focus? You see, Pharisees don't like parties like these. Pharisees want to call their own parties with the right people present, fulfilling an outward appearance of righteousness and entitlement. The older brother comes near the house and hears the celebration. What's his response? Well, the scripture says the older brother became angry and refused to go in. There's something wrong with us in the discovery of meaningful celebration when we ourselves can't celebrate. It says he called one of his servants and asked him, "What is going on? Don't you think the servant was shocked by the older brother's response? Your brother has come and is back safe and sound. Don't you want to go in?" Shouldn't we expect him to take part in this kind of celebration that takes place when sinners repent and become aware of God's grace, like his brother did? Jesus is telling this story because of the muttering Pharisees and the listening sinners.
Amen.
He wants the sinners to know what a wonderful Father God is. A kind of God who redeems men and women from their disgraceful circumstances. But he also wants to let the righteous Pharisees see themselves in the unforgiving attitude of the older brother. What was the older brother's reaction? He refused to go in. Let me ask you this question today. And I ask this myself. You know, this sermon is to me as well as you and everybody that wants to hear. But I don't want you to feel like I've got it all together, because I don't. A lot of these things I wrestle with daily about the proper Christian attitude to have. Let me ask this question today. Do you think it's possible that there are some people that we have grown to despise so much for their anti-Christian stance that if God came to earth and walked up the street and gathered them all up and put his arms around them, that we might actually be as disgusted as the older brother? The older brother failed at sympathy and forgiveness. He had sent his servant in, but notice his father didn't send a servant out. He came out. And this is a picture of our God, our personal God, who is actively involved in all of our trials.
Amen.
I cannot tell why he who angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men, or why as a shepherd he should seek the wanderers and bring them back. I know not how or when. But this I know. He heals the brokenhearted. He dries their tears. Calms their rising fears. And lifts the burden from the heavy laden.
Amen.
This is the God of the Scripture. This is our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose wrath against sin is so intense, he made Calvary a necessity and a reality, giving his Son. Yet here he is. He's pleading with this older brother with his unforgiving, judgmental, unchristian-like attitude to come in. Do you know what I think? I think there is much going on today passing for contemporary Christianity that is not honoring to God.
Amen.
Men and women will not be drawn to the gospel as a result of extreme right and left wing banner waving political activists. But they will be drawn to the pleading God, who pleads with the lost in the eyes, the hands, and the hearts of those of us who will reject the posture of the older brother.
Amen.
Now the Bible tells us to avoid these streams. So that gives us some space, doesn't it? To find ways to love each other while we are engaged in these disagreements. The key is to wrestle together with important questions, even if we come up with different answers. Now you're going to think that the preacher has going off his rocker here. Lost his brains this year in 23. Doesn't have them to give to 24. Midlife crisis or whatever it is. But I want to talk about, just touch on a few of these hot topics. Remembering the questions raised beginning of our discussion. Are we becoming consumed, frustrated, and depressed by the perceived importance of these topics? Are we clouding our hope in the promises and sufficiency of Jesus Christ? And are we making Christ look good to others, as John Piper would say? Let me just touch on a few of these. Public injustice, inequality. During my friendship with Bryant Dumas, he was put in jail for smoking weed in his own home. In fact, he invited them in, and they took him to jail. The Sackler family, owners of Purdue Pharma Drug Company, whose drugs have been largely responsible for killing over 80,000 people a year, are shielded from prosecution in those matters. What's fair about that? And this is my favorite. Jimbo Fisher, former coach of Texas A&M football team, was awarded over $75 million when he was fired. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. All these people put their pants on the same way every morning, one leg at a time. Let me read a passage of scripture in James. I think that is helpful. James chapter 2. After Hebrews, before, here we go. Chapter 2, first four verses. About favoritism. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man and filthy old clothes also come in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or you sit at my feet, have you not discriminated again among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Now that's a helpful passage, I think. But here's an example where that's not all there is, you know. You know, we can't take a scripture or even a short passage and take it out of the Bible and let it stand by itself. It doesn't work. You see, scripture has to not conflict in any way.
Amen.
So we would read that scripture and say, well, you know, that's a pretty good description of favoritism. But here's the thing. We got to be careful. Sometimes there are folks that, for example, would come through our doors who would deserve more respect than others. Do you believe that? That's why we have Claude and Ida at the head of the line downstairs at the dinner. They're older. They're old folks. I'm sorry to say that.
It's a fact.
It's a matter of fact, right. If the president were to come in and sit down, wouldn't we want to honor him with a pretty nice seat? Veterans, I think, deserve a little more respect than others. So you see, you got to be careful when you read Scripture. It's all part of the puzzle, a piece interwoven. A passage of Scripture does not stand alone, and as my mentor, Joe Rainey, would say, context, 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 and cross-reference. Let's take a look at abortion. Here's the headlines for you. I read this, took this right out of the legislature in the state of Maryland, who just passed this law not too many months ago. Abortion in the state of Maryland is legal up to the point of fetal viability. Now you understand what that says? After the baby's born. And later, when necessary, to preserve the life or health of the pregnant person. Now, I think we would all be in agreement that this law is unpleasing to God, to say the least.
Amen.
But aren't there more important questions to ask and wrestle with? What about the life of the mother? What about a situation involving incest and rape? Our opinions always need to be tempered by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. These are hard topics, and we need to wrestle with them. What about the gay and trans lifestyle? There's another headlines. Republican governor vetoes transgender youth care and sports ban in Ohio. Here's another one. Breaking news from CNN. Pope Francis authorizes blessings for same-sex couples, reversing a 2021 ruling that said God cannot bless sin. If we were to poll Christians across the country, there would be varying views on these headlines. Inside our churches. But wait a minute. Maybe there are more relevant questions for us to be wrestling with in this matter.
Amen.
We would all agree without compromise what the Bible has to say about gay lifestyle, but that doesn't completely take us off the hook. What will be your response when your child or grandchild asks to bring home their gay partner for the night? What are you going to say? What are you going to say when a gay person comes in and wants to worship with us on Sunday morning? We're going to let them in? You see, we get blinded by this stance that we're taking, that gay life is bad and abortion is bad and all this stuff. We get all carried away with it. We talk about it day in and day out. But how does it affect us personally? This is what we need to be talking about. As we pat each other on the back for our strict obedience orthodoxy in these areas, we need to remember other scriptures that are helpful as well. How about Galatians chapter 6? 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. About the next book over, in Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 32 through the first two verses in chapter 5. Paul says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now this fourth topic, my other son, Luke, gave me a book called Patriotic Christian. And I would highly recommend it. I'm just getting into it, but it's got some real meat to it. Patriotic Christian. You see what the title itself tells you. What's the subject? What's the noun in that topic? Christian. Patriotic is the adjective. Says a lot. There are Christian churches across the land whose worship service this morning will look like Fox News or MSNBC. They might be told how to vote. They might even recommend political PAC groups that you could send your money to. It is in churches like this that we might hear verses like this read. In fact, it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, if you want to write it down. It says, "Submit yourselves to the Lord for the Lord's sake to every human authority." Okay? You got that? Every human authority is ordained by God. What it's saying, right? Now, one question that I've always had in that regard is this idea of what about the Christian that lives and is a citizen of Nazi Germany before the war and during the war? What's his response to his leader? You will never meet a patriot who loves this country more than myself. I can't hear the national anthem without crying. But what is non-negotiable to me, and should be for all of us, is that we Christians must be clear that our primary allegiance, beyond what we owe the nation where we dwell as citizens, is the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
First allegiance. Now, I'm going to get off the soapbox and come back down to earth. But I hope that we can all agree, that we need to remain teachable from the Holy Spirit in such matters. I can assure you, I am still wrestling with many of these matters. Why is it that sinners are not coming to faith in our churches? There are many reasons. Why don't we see prostitutes come to Christ? Drug addicts transformed. within our churches. Maybe it's because the face that we represent to the people who are definitely lost is the holier-than-thou face of the older brother. Verse 29 says, "All these years I have slaved for you," the older brother says. And that's what Pharisees do. They don't understand grace and mercy and forgiveness. Only the do's and don'ts and the regulations and the outward appearances. Why is it that we are such a weak effect on the culture around us? We've lost sight of the fact that the power of God is in the power of the cross and the gospel. Why does the older brother refuse to go in? Because of the pride that he has. And the self-righteous, you know, always feel that they have never been treated the way they deserve. He didn't get a goat for his party. Did the thief at the cross deserve to go to heaven? "Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" he says. On the basis of what? A sinful life? That's all he brings to the cross, is his sin. "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, and helpless come to thee for rest. Follow I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Jesus, or I die."
Amen.
Let me close by just asking you to join me in some worthwhile, I think, and we should, I think we'll all agree here, our worthwhile New Year's resolutions. It's not going to involve losing weight or watching our language or, you know, any of that. But see what you think about these four resolutions that could change our witness. Not that, you know, the problem you get into when you bring a message like this out, everyone feels that I'm talking to you specifically. We've got all these problems within the church, and, you know, our older brother attitude is out in the county and no one wants to come here anymore. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about, I guess, if the shoe fits, wear it, you know. And I think I'm guilty of a lot of these unchristian thoughts. But let's agree on four things. Number one, let's make a conscious effort to show more grace and compassion. Number two, let's go beyond the surfaces in seeing others, especially others whom we might quite naturally dislike. Number three, let's go deeper in the quest for steadfastness. We must see ourselves as fully possessed by Christ in the unity together. And number four, very simple one. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. He not only came to address the hopes and fears of all the years, he took them into his very person. From the writer of Hebrews, For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet he did not sin.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Thank you so much for our Bible, God. Thank you for writing it to us, that we can pick it up personally and hear your words. Paul, writing to the young preacher Titus, said these words to him. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Lord, I pray that Pleasant Grove church family can go forth this year and stay out of the Holy Spirit's way. That we will be open to his help in our time of need. That we include him more in our decision making. And that the Holy Spirit would fill us with overwhelming, overflowing gratitude and love for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Close with 332. 332.